Good evening, good evening, good evening. I'll go with a couple of them, right? So, is anybody else attempting to recover from the first week back at school? Because as much as I was looking forward to school going back, getting back into that like schedule and routine and like having to actually set my alarm, it's not my favorite. Hey, I'm not a big fan, I'm not gonna lie. Good evening, Jody. So, hi. You did make it, and I'm very glad for that. So as you guys know, we are nearing the end of our summer giving drive. And this year, we kind of went about things a little bit differently. Instead of just talking about giving, we talked about giving up. And for some people, you know, that's been giving up disco lights, giving up disco. I've sworn off bell bottoms, just so you guys know. No. For some people, it's been giving up financially, you know, giving more up in your tithe and your offering and giving to God. For some people, it's been giving up habits. Typically, you give up the bad ones. And for some people, it's been giving up time. You know, I know that, especially in the world we live in today, it's so easy to get busy and sidetracked and, yeah, again with the disco, busy and sidetracked, and you don't always make time to sit and just, I don't know, soak in God's presence. And I know, I mean, for me, God has been giving me quite a few interesting lessons during this time of giving up. You know, whenever I think, oh, I don't need to learn about that, God, it's okay. God goes, oh, really? Watch and learn. So tonight, I'm going to be talking to you guys about abundance. Now, Misters Merriam and Webster say that abundance is, one, an ample quantity. You have a lot of something, an abundance of it. It is, two, affluence and wealth. You live a cushy lifestyle. So like the royal family lives a life of abundance. And three, a relative degree of plentifulness. My yard has a low abundance of apples. I don't have the most apples ever contained in a yard, but I have more apples than I am going to use. Now, the verse that we've been working off of for this series mentions abundance, mentions getting more than. If you guys could pull out your sermon notes, we are going to read that verse together. Scary, right? All right, so Luke 6:38 says, "Give and you will receive. Your gift will return to you in full, pressed down, shaken together to make room for more, running over and poured into your lap. The amount you give will determine the amount you get back." Good job, guys. That was very lovely. So what I'm going to start with this evening, I have an assignment for the shorter people in the room, the younger, much younger people. My boys are going to get up right now if you want to. No. My boys are going to get up and hand out a few things. It's going to be some paper, some crayons, a pencil. Each one of you kids should get one. It's also stuck to a clipboard. What I want you kids to do is draw a picture for me during the sermon. The picture is going to be something that you feel that God has blessed you with. And it can be your family. It can be your friends. It can be your caring heart. Maybe you have an abundance of love that lives within you. It can be your sense of humor. Maybe you are capable of laughing at all of the jokes or making all of the jokes. So, that's for the kids to do. At the end of my sermon, I'm going to ask if anybody wants to come up and share what they've drawn. You don't have to, but it would be a good idea to at least maybe talk about it with your family and let them know what you think is abundant and overflowing in your life as a blessing. And if we happen to have someone who wants to come up and share, it might also help the grown-ups in the room to recognize that there's different types of abundance, because sometimes kids look at that sort of stuff differently. All right, so in Luke 6:38, towards the end of the verse, it says, "Pressed down, shaken together to make room for more, running over, and poured into your lap." Have you ever baked a cake and, you know, if you take the measuring cup full of flour and you shake it, it settles down a little bit, like the air kind of comes out and it makes room for more. Some cakes, they say do that. Some cakes, they say don't do that. It's like the difference between packed brown sugar and unpacked. Now, what that chunk of the verse is talking about is abundance. It's talking about God giving you an ample quantity. Our Almighty Father has quite the history of giving. If you look all the way back into Genesis, God takes an old man named Abram and gives him a new name, gives him and his descendants land, like lots of land, country-sized land, and gives him more descendants than can be counted. In Genesis 13, 14 to 7, it says, after Lot had gone, now Lot is Abram's nephew, and he's the one who ends up in trouble in Sodom and Gomorrah. After Lot had gone, the Lord said to Abram, look as far as you can see in every direction, north and south, east and west. I am giving you all this land, as far as you can see, to you and your descendants as a permanent possession. And I will give you so many descendants that like the dust of the earth, they cannot be counted. Go and walk through the land in every direction, for I am giving it to you. You will notice that that verse is on your sermon notes sheet under the focus verse from Luke. Now, God gave Abraham, who was still named Abram, hence his new name Abraham, in this section of Genesis, land, a country, a home, a place for his future generations to live and to flourish. God blessed Abraham with abundance. Now, this week, I got to be blessed with an abundance in multiple different ways. It was not an abundance of money, although I was near a casino at one point. I'm not a gambler. I went inside. It kind of gave me a headache because apparently you can still smoke there. Who knew? And it was definitely not an abundance of rest. That was not slated for me this week. It was an abundance of safe place. Now, I got to spend my week going back and forth from Lincoln City. I drove down Sunday, I came back Monday. I drove down Wednesday, I came back Thursday. I'm going down again tomorrow and coming back again tomorrow evening. All of this for work. If you know me, you know that I'm a water human and I love the beach. It's something that really centers me. The sound of the waves, the seagulls, you know, that the smell of the sea air, it brings me back not only to myself, but to that core relationship that I have with our Father. And get, even though I am exhausted at this point, and, you know, my anxiety has probably been up here for several days during the week, just trying to get everything done, you know, first week of school, all that driving back and forth. I'm pretty sure my car hates me right now, but it's going to make it one more trip, I swear. Having the ability to spend the night and fall asleep with the window open listening to the ocean, even though, like, Sunday to Monday, I got 3 hours of sleep. But I woke up feeling refreshed. God gave me that abundance of safe place, that abundance of restoration that I didn't even realize I was looking for, to be honest. And that he gives, even when we're not asking for it, which is amazing. Now, the other abundance that I have gotten to have this week is an abundance of time to speak with a few non-believers that are in my acquaintance. They're people that I work with. And, you know, we, with all the driving back and forth and trying to get things done while we were down in Lincoln City, we got the opportunity to just kind of talk. And, you know, I was kind of worried about bringing up, you know, this part of my job with them. They know that I'm a pastor. They know that I'm a follower of Christ. But being a pastor is still new enough to me that I sometimes kind of go, ooh, is this the right time to say something? Or should I wait? And thankfully, you know, God is amazing and is willing to kind of give me that little open door to hint and go, okay, this is the spot, you know, open your mouth now. And I actually got to have some very wonderful conversations. One of the people that I spoke with, he is 22. He didn't grow up going to church. He said he's been to church once in his life. But that last year, for some reason, he just had this idea. He said it was a harebrained idea to read all the way through the Bible. I know a lot of Christians who have not read all the way through the Bible. And so for me, I was like, what? Well, what did you get out of it? And we had probably a 2 hour long conversation while we were, you know, inventorying things and restocking. The lady that I take care of has two condos at the beach. And so we were helping get that all situated for her. But we had about a 2 hour long conversation where he was asking me questions about things that he had read in the Bible and wanting to know more, which I think that that's just amazing for someone who, you know, considers himself a non-believer in God to have so many questions and to have been led to read the Bible out of nowhere. That's just pretty awesome. Now, as I've said, abundance that God blesses us with, you know, it doesn't always look how we're going to expect it to look. If I had prayed at the beginning of the week for abundance, I would have expected money. Because don't we all? But instead, I got abundance in different ways and was blessed probably tenfold more than what money would have blessed me with. Learning not to make assumptions about the abundance that God is giving is always a very interesting lesson to learn. I feel like God typically teaches me interesting lessons. Some of them are harder than others. Now, one of the other ways which God gives to us abundantly is of ourselves. I'm sure you're thinking, wait, God gives us to us abundantly. What are you saying here? We have free will. We get to decide how we spend our time. We get to decide who we spend our time with. God has given us that ability. Now, giving, so one thing that I know I don't always think about, and I've been reminding myself to think of more often, is giving back to God as abundantly of myself as he has given to me. He doesn't ask for much. And honestly, I feel like for most of my life, I have not given back to God of myself as much as I should have. This week, while I was able to, you know, be in Lincoln City, I did get the chance to go take a little bit of time for myself, walk on the beach, walk in the water, just kind of recenter, more or less. And I had these, well, I felt like they were amazing conversations with God as I was walking along the beach. And what's funny to me is that when you hear someone say, oh, I had a conversation with God, I get this mental picture in my head of someone kneeling by their bed praying, because that's what was drilled into me as a kid. You know, that's where your conversations with God take place. Side of your bed, on your knees, that's the only way to do it. But I was just walking and talking, sometimes out loud, which I'm sure I looked a little crazy, maybe abundantly so, but it was great. It was freeing. It helped me, again, find that centered, balanced place where I didn't know that I needed to be. When it comes to God blessing you with abundance, another thing that I've noticed is that we have to trust God to be abundant with us. It's easy to pray and ask for things from God, right? It's, Father God, please help me make good grades, you know. But really trusting God to not only answer your prayer, but to take care of you and do so in a way that is more than you could have imagined, it can take a little bit of bravery. You know, trust is not always an easy thing. And I know, especially, you know, trusting people is quite difficult in this day and age. It feels like every time I manage to flip on the news, whether it's on the radio or on my phone or on the TV, it's bad news. Just everywhere, bad news. But I've been taking a moment, and when I read that bad news, I'm just trusting the bad news to God. Just, Father God, you know what's going on. I'm trusting that this is going to be handled the way that you are planning to handle it, God. And I'm trusting that you will help me to either feel peace of what I'm trusting you with or to be agitated enough to do something. Part of that abundance coming from God, we tend to keep it to ourselves, you know. We might tell people about it, but, oh, you know, God blessed me with an extra, you know, $600 I wasn't expecting on my paycheck. I'm going to buy something fun. I'm going to go to the movies 4 times. I'm going to take my family out to dinner. And while that's wonderful, you know, God's blessed you with it for a reason. Another thing that I feel I have not been as good about, I don't know about you guys, but it's taking the abundance that God blesses me with and blessing someone else. You know, God blesses us, therefore we should bless others. Whether it's, you know, you have an extra vehicle or an extra, I don't know, lawnmower. And you hear that your neighbor down the street, you know, their car got stolen. Well, here, maybe you can borrow mine for a week until you can get back on your feet. You know, lawnmower. Maybe they don't have one and their grass is this high. It could be blessing them with mowing their lawn or saying, hey, do you need a lawnmower? I'm noticing your weeds are a little tall. It might be better just to mow their lawn. I'm not going to lie. Telling someone their yard looks like junk is never a good idea. But it's so important for us to help take care of each other. That's part of why we're here, is to help take care of each other. The next chunk of verses that I have kind of talks about that. It talks about abundance, but it also talks about taking care of someone other than yourself. In Matthew 14, Jesus has gone he's found this crowd, and you know, it says that he feels compassion for them and he heals their sick and he's talking to them. And so, you know, he's giving his sermon. Everybody's enjoying it, but the day is winding down. People are hungry. People are grumpy. The apostles all come to Jesus and say, hey, send these people on their way. We're hungry. Let's eat. And Jesus says, well, feed them. And the apostles say, well, we don't have enough food. There's like 5,000 people here. We can't feed all these people. He goes, well, what do you have? Well, we have 5 loaves and 2 fish. Jesus says, bring it to me. So in Matthew 14, 18, 21, it says, bring them here, he said. Then he told the people to sit down on the grass. Jesus took the 5 loaves and 2 fish, looked up toward heaven, and blessed them. Then, breaking the loaves into pieces, he gave the bread to the disciples, who distributed it to the people. They all ate as much as they wanted, and afterward, the disciples picked up 12 baskets of leftovers. About 5,000 men were fed that day, in addition to all the women and children. 5,000 men, plus the additional number of women and children. And there's still 12 baskets left over. I would be willing to bet that there are people in that crowd who were going home to a table that is not always full. That extra food, knowing what I know about Jesus, was probably used to bless those people. Jesus didn't just, you know, bless the food and there was an exact number given out. No. It was abundant. It was plentiful. There was more than enough. Recognizing and thanking God for that abundance, you know, it's something that I have been trying to be very purposeful about lately. I can imagine standing in that crowd, all those people getting bread, getting fish, having spent the day listening to the Son of God, and just saying thank you. When you guys were kids, did your parents ever make you write thank you notes to people, like after your birthday, after Christmas, you know, after graduation? You got the big long list, you have to sit down, you make out the thank you notes. Each one has to be personal. No, Aunt Susie didn't get you that, she got you this. You had to address all of them, lick 9,000 stamps and envelopes, which a lot of envelopes are self-licking now, which is pretty cool. They just have a tear-off strip. That too, yeah, they've got little sponges you can use. You're not getting that meh tongue. But I always hated writing out thank you notes. I have no problem telling people thank you. But sitting down and actually going through the motions of writing out a thank you note, there's something very tedious about that, I guess. One of the things that I've been doing lately, I don't know if you guys remember that I started a prayer journal, and I've been writing down different prayers to God. I've added a new component to my prayer journal, and I've also been writing thank you notes to God in my prayer journal. Not necessarily thank you notes for prayers that have been answered. These are thank you notes just for thank yous. Thank you, God, for the beautiful sunset. Thank you, God, for a family that loves me, and regardless of how cranky I get. You know, thank you, God, for a mentor who I'm able to talk to, you know, and who isn't standoffish or uppity. They're just little thank yous for the little gifts and the big gifts that I get from God. Because when I look at my life, I have an abundance of gifts, and all of them have come from God. That being said, we are going to move into our next steps. I know everybody's always excited about the next steps, right? Oh, gee, what homework are they giving me this week? So, your first next step is, I will remember that abundance from God comes in many forms. It's easy to see the abundance when it's something physical that you can touch. But it's just as important to take note, possibly more so, to take note of the abundance of blessings that you receive that are not something you can touch. You know, the love that you're getting when you least expect it. A friend calling to say, hey, I was thinking about you. How are you doing? It's a blessing from God. Next step, I will bless as I have been blessed. Now, I'm not saying that if you go to the casino and hit it big, that you need to turn around and pass that money out to as many people as you can find. But you could use it to bless someone else. You know, if your kids or your grandkids came and helped you out and you have, less to do in your day than you thought you would, go visit a friend who's been sad. You know, take flowers to a neighbor who you noticed maybe a little lonely. You know, we live in a time when paying it forward doesn't always happen. And I know that when it does happen, it typically looks like, oh, the guy in front of me bought my food at McDonald's, so I'm going to buy the guy behind mine. And there's that. But I'm talking about paying it forward from God, the Father who blesses you abundantly. pour out those blessings. Share those blessings. Your third next step is I will write down one abundant thing in my life each day this week and remember to thank God for it. When we arrived at church this evening, we were being blessed with rain after quite a few days without it. I was very thankful when I stepped out of the house for that rain. As much as it probably messed my hair up, I was thankful that I stepped out of my house and that smell of rain on the warm pavement and the warm ground just hit me in the face. And I thought, oh, fall is coming. Thank you, God. Thank you for that smell. Thank you for this life-giving water that you're pouring out on the earth. Thank you. Writing things down and really focusing on them for me helps me remember to be thankful. You know, it's easy to take a small blessing and go, okay, yep, this is my blessing, and go on with your life. But if you write it down, it makes you stop and think, even as you're writing it down, wow, I have such an amazing God. God is incredible. Thank you, God, for blessing me. It's little things, you know? Writing things down for me is, I don't know, I guess huge. So as you are going through this next week, I want you to take note of the abundances that you have in your life. I want you to take note of the blessings that you're receiving. And remember to thank God for the abundance that He pours down on you. You know, every single day that we get to go out and battle for His kingdom, that's a gift. You know, every single day that we get to wake up and praise God and share His love, both with loved ones and ones we don't know, that's a gift. We get so many gifts on a daily basis. Let's see how many we can thank God for this week. Do any of you kids want to get up and share your pictures? Nope. All right, that's fine. Oh, Madison does? Oh, you don't want to talk? Okay, I will talk then. Well, then I guess we don't need that. All right. So, Madison has quite a few blessings. Mom, Dad, Jesse, Corey, Zoe, Taylor, Jessica, Rosie, Aunt Heather, her family, for the Sunny D that she drinks in the morning, metal straws that don't kill the turtles, Philly and Rufus, dogs, okay, got it. She's got Mom on there twice. I mean, that's good stuff. And, of course, her puppy, Ronnie. You are a very blessed girl.
Thank you, Madison.
All right, I'm going to pray. Father God, thank you. Thank you for the family that we have in this room, for the family we don't have in this room. Thank you for the family that has returned to us after a few years. Father God, we love just soaking in your presence, just being with you, feeling you with us. Father God, you are so good, and we are so grateful. I pray that as we enter into our next portion of worship, that you will just pour down those blessings and the love and the feelings. Father God, we want to feel you overflow this room. You are so good. Thank you. In your precious Son, Jesus Christ's name, amen.